Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Bob Mendelson, and this is the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. Yes, it's season four of the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. New music, new guests, new plans. This is going to be great. And yesterday was the Jewish Day of Atonement. We're going to be talking a lot about that today. Stay tuned. You can now find us and comment to us wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what matters to you, what triggers your joy, what bothers you in the world. Let us know. We'll see where the Spirit leads us. Wherever you are just now, whether you're out for your evening constitutional, or you're here in Australia, or back in the United States with friends, or all by yourself with your headset on, hey, wherever you are, thanks for joining us these 18 minutes. Of note, the opinions are strictly my own and those of my guests. On this date in history, the 26th of September, in 1580, after nearly 3 years at sea, English Admiral Francis Drake arrived in Plymouth Harbor, England, completing his circumnavigation of the world. In 1960, in the United States, 85 million people at least watched the first in a series of historic televised debates between U.S. presidential candidates John F. Kennedy and Vice President Richard M. Nixon. It was broadcast on that day. And in 1970, on the 26th of September, Abbey Road was released, the British last recorded album of the Beatles, mostly recorded earlier, but it was released on this day. And that's the historical marker of the week. I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. 50 years ago today, the 11th of Tishrei, on day two of the Yom Kippur War, as the IDF was overwhelmed in the Sinai and the Golan Heights, Defense Minister Moshe Dayan raised the possibility of the fall of the Third Temple, as he would understand it, the end of the state of modern Israel. When the war ended, Israel's morale was shattered, and 2,656 soldiers lay dead. Today, as the Israeli public again frets about the fall of the Third Temple, I want to talk with you today, reflecting on the painful legacies of the conflict for the last seven decades. But it's also on the heels of Yom Kippur. And one other major event happened here in Sydney. A 46-year-old Jewish woman passed away last week, just before Yom Kippur. And as a result, her funeral was just moments ago. I delayed the making of this podcast until after her funeral and burial. She was a life spark. She was, well, her name, her Hebrew name, meant brilliance, or even the planet Venus. She touched lives everywhere she went. She was part of our community. She had some ups and downs in her relationship with Yeshua, but she loved him, and she read the New Testament. When I gave her one just earlier this year in Hebrew, she felt she was so excited because she had lost hers that she had from years past. She used to teach our Hebrew classes at the bookshop back on Oxford Street when we were there. She was a champion. She loved her kids. She has two beautiful daughters who love her and were weeping seriously outside as the hearse was beginning to move away. So I'm thinking about the Yom Kippur War from 1973. I'm thinking about Yom Kippur from yesterday. And I'm thinking about the burial of a Jewish woman named Noga. All that to say this. There is, at the end, I suppose I should tell you this, that people ask me with regularity, Bob, where's your favorite place? You get to travel a lot. What's your favorite place to visit? And I say, well, there are two very favorite places. One, wherever my wife is, that's for sure. And secondly, as an airplane ascends out of an airport and arises through the clouds that covered the sky, as we just peek over the top of that cloud and I see blue sky forever and white clouds like a blanket of snow all across my view out the window. When that happens, when I see that, I'm just delighted that I can get above it all. I can see things more clearly. That's my favorite place, wherever my wife is, and that airplane. What's my least favorite place? A Jewish funeral. Because it's the most hopeless place on the planet. It's not that there's anything good or bad about the person or the preacher, or the rabbi, or the people involved in the presentation. No, it's just that they never give hope. They say, the hope you have as you bury Mrs. Goldberg or Dr. Green, the hope you have is that they'll live on in the memory of their grandchildren. And I think, that's it? There's got to be something more that we have. I mean, why am I bothering with mitzvahs? Why am I bothering with keeping Torah? Why am I doing all these things if all that we get at the end is an applause meter? No, there's got to be something more. And of course, that's when we turn to the scriptures and we find that our real hope is found in a relationship with the Almighty. So this is something that it's so important to consider during the 10 days and on Yom Kippur, especially. We beat our breast with words of corporate repentance, Ashamnu, Bogadnu. We're confessing that we've sinned by being arrogant. We've sinned by being proud and disregarding his holy laws. And at the end of the day, we hope, Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu va'anenu, be gracious to us and answer us, ki ein banu masim, because we have no good works in ourselves. Asei manu tzedakah v'chesed, do for us, make for us righteousness, and be being kind to us. Covenant love, that's what we beg. Well, at the end of the day, maybe last night at the end of Ne'ilah, in synagogues around the globe, maybe you were in one. Maybe you heard the words of comfort, if they were, coming from a rabbi or a chazan, some rabbi, some cantor, saying, we hope. In fact, I was thinking, if you had an exit poll, not please don't do this, but if you went to a synagogue and had a man on the street interview with people, do you feel forgiven of your sins? I'm guessing that there will be some who would say, well, I didn't commit many sins this year, so God didn't have much to forgive me. In fact, I don't think I've done anything wrong. So, no, I don't feel forgiven because I didn't do anything wrong. And then others would say, well, it'd be nice if there were a God, if God did exist, I mean, it'd be nice. I certainly know I've done plenty of things wrong in my life, and even this last 12-month period. But whether he could, I mean, if he were alive, why didn't he save the 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust? Why does he allow children to suffer? Why? I'm not sure that there is a God. In the first case, they don't know who they are. And in the second case, they don't know who God is. In neither case would forgiveness happen, because forgiveness with God has to be a matter of faith. We have to say, God, in your mercy, please forgive us. God, be kind to us. Ki ein banu ma'asim, for we have no good works in ourselves. Well, that's some of my thinking today on the heels of a funeral of a woman who did have hope. Not because she was so good. She was a good person. My goodness, she fed birds like St. Francis. And she cared for people and pigeons and her daughters and her brother and her mom and dad. She was a good girl on so many levels. She loved everybody. She loved people in her Hebrew classes and she was a musician. She wrote songs. She wrote songs to her mother's lyrics. Her mother wrote poetry. Writes poetry. So everything Noga did was a kind gesture, was a good thing. But if you'd asked Noga, on what basis do you think you might get to heaven? If you would have asked her that, she would have had one answer. And it's not that she was so righteous, though she was a good girl, a woman, 46 years old. But she would have said, by faith in Yeshua. That's where eternal life is. It's not in being human, though we should be mentioned. We should be like human to each other. Of course, that goes without saying. But it's forgiveness is not something you earn. It's not, I did this many good deeds and that many bad deeds, and my good outweighs my bad, so let me into heaven. I didn't murder that many people's reputation. I didn't steal that much stuff from people, so I should be allowed in. No, we decry the breaking of the Ten Commandments or any of the commandments, any of the measures that we commit of wrong against other people. We don't like that. So why would we think God likes that? Look, he knows our ways. He knows that we are but dust. He understands. And when we cry out to him for forgiveness, you know what he does? He forgives us. What a great God we have who understands us in that way. The people of Nineveh in ancient Assyria, back in the days of Jonah the prophet, had a problem. They committed serious offenses against each other and against the other peoples of the world around them. They were the global empire of the day. Think United States today or England back in 1770. You know, the world-dominating power. Think Rome or Greece. So the Assyrians were dominating. And God sent this Jewish prophet named Jonah to go and speak to the Assyrians and bring them God's word of repentance. And he was reluctant. You might remember the story of Jonah and a whale and Mediterranean Sea and his prayer. And then he says, yeah, I think I better go where I didn't go before. So he went up to Nineveh, which was the capital. And he said, in 6 weeks, you people are going down. And he was really happy about that because they were the dreaded enemies of the Jewish people. And yet, what happened? They all repented. From the mayor of the town to every person, they repented. Wow. Fantastic. Except Jonah wasn't really happy about that. He was a racist. He didn't think they belonged in the people of God. God thought the Assyrians belonged in the people of God, which is pretty remarkable and great. In fact, God thinks you belong in the people of God, no matter what you've done, not because of what you've done, but because of his great mercy. In fact, we read that in the Bible. Maybe we'll read that in the book of Titus, chapter 3, later on. He saves us on the basis of his love. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm not a deserving guy. I didn't deserve forgiveness, but God gave it to me. I still don't deserve forgiveness, but I still want to do good things for other people. I'm so glad Noga was able to do that. I'm so glad that now, 50 years after the Yom Kippur War, that the fall of the Third Temple, as Moshe Dayan described it, didn't happen. We still have the land of Israel. Oh, there might be a day when it does fall, but that's not the Third Temple. That's not where God lives. God lives in human hearts, and he wants us to know him personally. He wants you to know him personally. On this Yom Kippur, a day of finding out what's missing in your life, which is forgiveness, the assurance. So if you had been part of that exit poll, do you feel forgiven? Do you feel forgiven? Most Jewish people I know would have left with a question mark at the end of that. Forgiven? Wouldn't it be nice? But if you ask a Messianic Jew, a Jew who believes Jesus is the Messiah, like Noga, do you feel forgiven? She would have rubbed out that question mark and written in an exclamation mark with animation and colors. She was creative. And say, forgiven! Hallelujah! That's good news. It's good news for you. It's good news for Jewish people. It's good news for all people. On the heels of Yom Kippur, or on this first day afterwards, what are you going to do with this good news information? What do you think about all this? Why don't you write me, BobMendo@AOL.com, or comment on an Instagram or TikTok to me. I'd love to know what you're thinking. Every week we read from the number one bestseller of all times, the Bible. Today's no different. From Titus chapter 3, we read this: not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Next week, join us when Dr. Pam Crabtree of New York University, an archaeologist and animal bone specialist, joins us. It's a great show. Until then, from me, Bob Mendelsohn, when things seem bleak or uncertain, look up to God. He's in his heaven, and Bob's your uncle. Shalom from Sydney.